ATC is go.
Agapus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, the 8th of March. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I am excited because we are potentially less than 1 week away from the next attempt at a Starship launch.
Oh, yeah, that should be interesting, of course. I hope, though, this time all goes well.
You know, Elon Musk is saying he's cautious, but he's saying there's an 80% chance of full success. And okay. in an experimental rocket launch, 80% is pretty high.
Absolutely.
The first time they tried it, he said that success was probably a 20% deal. The last time he said it was 50-50. Now he's up to 80%. So,
okay. Let's see, because we got to get this moon launch going here, folks, because there's a chance that someone else can beat us back there, which will not be good.
They're looking at the possibility of next Thursday morning for the launch.
Yeah. But so, because of all the issues not working correctly, the whole launch itself is pushed back a year for the main launch. And we can't keep having this. We've got to start having real successes.
We'll see. You know, we'll see. Yep. That thing is just ginormous, that Starship.
It is.
I mean, my God. What do you have coming up for next week?
What do I have next week?
Something I asked you first.
After last night's disaster of a State of the Union address, I'm addressing in detail why we must vote party ticket. I don't care if you need the clothespin. You got to vote straight red, straight down from top to bottom. Because simply, even if Trump were to win, and we lost the House and Senate, we're in big doo-doo.
Deep, 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 deep. Next mm-hmm. Tuesday, I am covering the weird fallout from last week's 9-0 Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm.
And word of warning, it's a wee bit snarky.
A wee bit puts it mildly. But that's okay. We need those kind of articles. You know, everything's so serious. Well, so, you know, getting some snark is a nice break.
Yeah.
It's fact-laden, but it's still, you know, with a sense of humor. And sometimes we need that.
I gave Diane a sneak peek on it yesterday. And there's one line, I won't bring it up right now. But there was one line in there, she goes, I would have never thought to put those two things together.
Yeah, we give each other sneak peeks of our articles.
Yeah, Diane's article coming up next week is actually very, very good. So that's what we got coming next Tuesday. We'll publish those on Monday. But tonight we need to start by kind of recapping what went on last night. Biden's State of the Union address and Senator Katie Britt's response. And as has kind of become our custom, Diane, you and I have each written kind of a short summary or statement regarding Biden's speech last night. Why don't you go first?
Okay. It was the most hateful and divisive anti-American State of the Union address ever given. Theater of the absurd became theater of the insane, for Joe Biden proved just how clueless he really is to the hardships Americans face due to his and Obama's failed policies. Briefly, the Biden we saw last night was a man so combative and angry, medication induced, most likely, that what was to be an address about America became a scream fest campaign speech. And it started with calling his political enemies dumb, as in insult both President Trump and all of we who twice voted for him. And while Biden thought himself brave in not mentioning Trump's name, predecessor, he called him, Biden's misplaced sense of bravery saw him actually threatening the Supreme Court justices over their decision to return the issue of abortion back to the states. Not nice, not legal, Joe, just saying. And don't forget Biden's lie spewed regarding his job numbers and inflation, aka shrinkflation, as neither are doing any such thing, meaning they're not improving. But the meds did give Biden the courage and the opportunity to spew lies that is, was his president. It's not a great day today, guys. But the meds did give Biden the courage to spew lies that was his predecessor's broken border policies that allowed for operational control of the border being lost. But that was a lie indeed, for it was Biden's EOs that reversed Trump's successful border policies, and it was Biden's own catch-and-release policy that led to innocent American lives being lost at the hands of those who had no legal right to be here. Also, Biden dug Obama's proverbial knife deeper into Israel's back as he announced that our military would be building a temporary pier on Gaza's coast to, quote, enable a massive increase in humanitarian assistance into Gaza. Nothing like rewarding those who savagely start a war against America's staunchest ally. I seriously doubt he got or will get Bibi's permission for this. But the bottom line is, well, I should say before that, Joe Biden talking about fair share tax-wise is really quite laughable, what with he and his crime family being but tax dodgers at best. But the bottom line is that Joe Biden's address has proven him to be both an America-hating individual and a failure as a president. Come November, Republicans must unite to throw out this piece of liberal Democrat trash.
I cannot argue with any of that.
I can't. Oh, well, I'm glad about that.
It is what it is. We'll get into a deeper discussion about various parts of it. Let me give you my summary. Okay.
Okay.
What we witnessed last night was a medical miracle. Now, I suspect that if we were to dig up his cadaver and juice it with whatever mixture they gave comatose Joe in the West Wing last night, Rutherford B. Hayes could have delivered a speech. Joe was so jacked up he bit 3 Secret Service agents, Hunter's dealer, and peed on the floor and then blamed it all on Commander. When Joe finally arrived at the Capitol, late, either because they were waiting for the drugs to kick in or because he dribbled ice cream on his tie, he made his first blunder of the well past his bedtime evening. I'm sure it wasn't all his fault, as somebody probably forgot to put a sticky note on the podium telling him not to begin blathering or lying until Speaker Mike Johnson formally introduced him. What followed was a mixture of old, worn-out talking points delivered in the style of, "Get off my lawn, you dumbass kids!" Joe stood there and bellowed about the right to kill soon-to-be-born children, how great Obamacare is, and soaking the rich at tax time. He claimed to be a socialist and then immediately laid out the most socialist agenda I have ever heard. I'm sure Obama was proud. It was 41 minutes into a 67-minute rage fest before the fool finally said anything about the border, and he blamed it on Republicans in the House who won't pass a bill expediting amnesty and allowing illegal aliens to vote. Joe, pick up your pen, pull your head out of your ass, and reinstate Trump's border policies that you did away with 3 years ago. I was, however, sorry to hear of the passing of the USC head football coach Lincoln Riley at the hands of an illegal alien. According to Biden, the economy's great, the world is safer today than it was 4 years ago, crime is down, and he intends to double down on the policies that are destroying our country. And we're all just too dumb to know how good we've got it. But then again, we're not illegal aliens, are we?
No, we're not. Not at all.
So that's how I saw it.
Okay, I got angrier and angrier the further on into the speech he went. What he did was he gave a campaign speech. He did not give a State of the Union address. And if that's his campaign speech, the man who 4 years ago said he wants to be a uniter.
Right.
This is the most divisive speech I have ever heard. It's almost on par. Well, it would be on par with Obama's nonsense, because I'm sure Obama's hand was somewhere in that speech.
You would almost have to think so.
Yes.
You know, it was so odd. I mean, he just walked up there and immediately began to blather. You know, there was no introduction. There was nothing.
No.
And the lies began immediately. Bring in January 6th into it. You know, I'm sorry, but if that was an insurrection, it was an insurrection with guided tours of the Capitol. We've seen the video. We've seen the Capitol Police letting people in the door. We even saw Capitol Police taking the QAnon shaman around, helping him find an open door into the chamber.
Right. Right. It's absolutely the most horrendous speech a president can give, because what he did was further divide the country. His speech last night actually opened the door a little bit for a Trump win.
Well, I think
and that man is dumb enough to even realize that. And what else? Something else I noticed. You notice when he walked into the Capitol, he was the usual slow-moving, like blank-faced Joe. But he was sucking on something.
Yeah, it was like it was kind of square, and it was white, and it looked like a lozenge of some sort. I almost wonder if it didn't have slow-release amphetamines in it.
Yeah, speed, basically. Yeah. Because in a second, that man went from his usual slow gait to, like, high speed. He started out with a screaming voice. He kept the screaming voice throughout. That's not the way a president gives a State of the Union address.
No. I mean, he not only was he yelling throughout the entire process, but he was trying to talk so fast. There were so many times, I think there were 36, 37 times where he was talking so fast, he was slurring his words, he was tripping over his words. Mm-hmm. That some of the times, whatever he was trying to say was completely unintelligible.
Yeah, and there were a few other physical nuances that I noticed. Joe Biden, I don't care what that doctor in D.C. says. That doctor is full of crap. There was something physically wrong with Biden. Even if you take the mental part out of it, there was something physically wrong with him. He has the movements of somebody with Parkinson's. Do people besides you and I, did they notice that when he turned or moved, both hands came with him? His body was the moving. It's like the hands came separately.
Right. And when he
facial expression.
Right. And when he tried to look to the right or to the left, he'd have to shift his whole body to the right or the left.
Right. That's not what, you know, well people do. And even as angry as he was at times, there was a blank look, a waxy look about his face. Now, yes, they had, you know, he probably borrowed from Nancy Pelosi a whole bunch of her facelift tapes.
Right.
Or, well, I guess those were Hillary's too. But he had this waxy, blank look about him, which is indicative of people as they go into the later stages of Parkinson's. I'm sorry, that doctor in D.C., really, they need to look into his medical license, in my opinion.
Well, you know, if you look at video of Joe from a week ago, okay, he was stumbling and bumbling. He couldn't get his words out. He was drawing blanks. He didn't know what to say. He just kind of stood there like the standing comatose. If you saw him today, he made a public appearance today. He couldn't get his words out. He couldn't form a thought. He couldn't answer a simple question.
Right.
And then you look at last night, and I know the White House could say, oh, no, Joe wasn't on anything. We don't medicate him.
Bull
crap.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was an altogether kind of scary deal last night. He's talking about the border, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, God bless her, say her name.
Yeah, she was great. Yes.
You know, so he tried to ad lib and talk about Lincoln Riley.
Right.
But he called her Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is the head coach of the USC football program.
Okay.
Today, Lincoln Riley's parents came out, and they were absolutely furious that after all this time, Joe can't even get their daughter's name right.
Well, that's simply because he really doesn't care what happened.
Right. It doesn't bother him because this is the first time he even tried to say her name.
Right. The only thing in that entire speech he got right, he did it by mistake. He called the guy that murdered Lincoln, he called him what he was, an illegal. And the Democrats were like, all day today, Joe, you can't say that. You have to call him undocumented. And he did stand up and say, I call him like I see him. Now, he didn't say that in his right mind. That slipped out. And in a way, if he's calling him illegal, that means his policies are not working.
That's right.
And he should be held accountable. I think her parents should sue the hell out of the government because the creep that I'm sorry to say this, folks, but bashed her head in, literally. He had been in custody.
And oh, more than once.
Yeah. Her parents, I think, have a legal major lawsuit against this administration.
I, Well, I hope so, because that guy came across the border illegally.
Yeah.
Okay. The Biden regime turned him loose, sent him to New York. He got arrested in New York. They didn't charge him. They let him go. So right. I think she's got a case there, too.
Yes.
You know, and then he goes down there to Georgia and murders her while she's out on a jog.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he didn't know her. She didn't do anything to him.
No.
She was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a different way of looking at that. And it's a matter of semantics, and I know it. But she was actually in the right place at the wrong time. She was where she was supposed to be. She was out jogging on her university campus.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. They made a big deal about that. In fact, Judge Jeanine on the 5 today, she really said, how you say it doesn't matter. The fact is that this illegal who did not belong in this country bashed the head in of an innocent young girl.
Well, and, you know, Joe talked about how crime is down under his watchful eye.
Okay? Really?
Well, I'll tell you how crime is down. Okay. When you don't report crimes, the numbers improve. It's not that there are less crimes. It's just that there are less crimes being reported because these people get arrested and turned loose instantly and nobody's reporting it.
And if you turn them loose, then you're basically saying they're not guilty. So the crime that they're being charged with technically didn't exist.
Right.
It's a catch-22 all around. And nobody on the left seems to care about what's happening.
Well, and here's the perfect case in point for that. Okay. Before he got around to talking about the border, which was 41 minutes into a 67-minute speech.
Right.
The border is the most pressing thing on the minds of voters today. And it doesn't matter whether it's
behind by the economy.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. Everybody's concerned about border security. So it took him 41 minutes into a 67-minute speech, but before he started talking about the border. Thank God the leader of the free world is concerned about the size of a Snickers bar and how many potato chips are in the freaking bag.
Yeah, we're in a mess, folks. We are really in trouble.
Now,
again, that ballot has to be cast red straight down the line.
We've got a few minutes left in this segment. Let's talk about Senator Katie Britt's response last night. Now, first of all, it took forever to get to it because I don't know why, but they're intent on showing Biden glad handing with a bunch of rubes down on the floor. But when they finally got to it last night, Katie Britt, she is a freshman senator from Alabama, and she is the youngest woman in the Senate.
Right, she's 43. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was your take on her official response to Biden's shouting fest?
Okay. She hit all the talking points, and she hit them successfully. However, while she was good in that aspect, the theatrics have backfired across Republican lines throughout today. They had her in her home, in her kitchen. Right then and there, many Republicans felt that that was demeaning to women, in the sense of we need strong women to be leaders. And yes, she won her election. She did a good job. She's a good senator. But there was too much of the mother in her. She probably will help pull in some independent women's votes. But at the same time, she is, well, I don't want to say anything related to Kamala, but in the sense, she's the polar opposite of Kamala in the fact that she's on the right side of the issues. However, the theatrics just bombed. The tears, the this, the that, the repeating. She repeated the same message over and over. We needed, after a speech like Biden gave, we needed someone like a Jim Jordan coming out or a Ted Cruz coming out and just nailing it. She didn't nail it.
And I can understand that. I think maybe the optics were a little odd. I can understand what they were going for because the topics she's talking about are the things that people talk about around the kitchen table. I'm just not sure. You know, maybe that wasn't the right setting. But I'll tell you this, and I don't care which side is giving the response to a State of the Union, and I don't really care who's doing the response to the State of the Union. That is probably the most god-awful speech anybody's going to have to give in their entire career. You're sitting there cold. You've got no audience. There's no applause. There's no feedback. You can't see anybody's face. You're literally on an island by yourself. And, you know, you've got to deliver a speech to almost no one. And that's part of what you have to understand as the person giving the response is, and especially last night after that god-awful, you know, just angry shouting and berating speech that Biden tried to deliver. Most people that started watching the speech weren't still watching it at the end. Diane and I took one for the team. We watched the whole thing.
But, yeah, that's an hour and a half, 2 hours. We're never getting back.
You know, so how many people were actually watching the response, you know, when it happened? And here's the thing, you know, this particular State of the Union was the latest on the calendar ever delivered. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're still 8 months away from the election. I really don't know how much an official response to a State of the Union does for any particular candidate from either side of the aisle, regardless of who's giving it, when you're at least 8 months away and usually more like nine and a half months away from the actual general election. We already know who the Republican nominee is going to be. Trump's going to have that sewn up next week. So there's really no guesswork there. We're literally 8 months away from the general election. I don't know how much weight it carries that far down the road.
Right. You know, we don't even know if Joe Biden's going to make it 8 months to run.
I thought he was going to have a stroke last night.
I know. Some of the anger in him, you could see it boiling in him.
He was quivering at points.
Yeah. His lips and mouth were bouncing around a little bit, if you will.
And his hands were shaking. I mean, he was vibrating up there. He was so mad.
Yeah. You know, and he kept staring at the teleprompters.
I do have a theory as to why he was yelling the whole thing.
He was hot.
Well, okay, but I have a better theory.
Yeah.
I think somebody told him before he went out there, whatever you do, don't whisper. It's creepy. So he overcompensated. You know? I mean, it was weird. You know, we're used to seeing the Joe Biden that's the real Joe Biden, the guy that can't find his way off of stage, the guy that shuffles around, the guy that gets lost trying to walk inside the White House, the guy who can't get words out, the guy that freezes up and stands there and just stares at people. And then that, last night? That was totally unnatural.
Unless, do you think by any chance he had a mic on him that was booming out his voice louder than it really was?
No, because you could see he was straining his face, you know, his neck muscles and everything. He was shouting, and he was angry shouting. It wasn't extra microphone boost. It was him just shouting.
Well, also, we remember he spent the good part of the first part of his speech knocking his predecessor.
Yes. 13 times he mentioned his predecessor. Wouldn't mention him by name.
Yeah. No.
But 13 times.
He thought he was so brave with that. Actually, it made him look like a fool.
Well, just add it to the list.
You know? Right.
Before we wrap up this segment, I know we're running just about a minute long here, but I was highly amused and appreciative of Speaker Mike Johnson. He just sat back there, just kind of shaking his head like, yes. Oh my God, what is this idiot talking about?
Yes. Yeah, that was great. He did excellent.
The only time the Republicans applauded last night was when Biden said, in conclusion.
Yeah.
And the whole right side of the building started cheering.
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice those women dressed in white again on the left side. I know. Our government has become a joke at this point.
Yep, it really has. All right, we got to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. We got one full segment to go. And we've got a couple more things we want to talk about tonight, including wrapping up Super Tuesday and talking about how Joe Biden has decided to stab Israel and Bibi Netanyahu in the back. So stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, and if you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rsbradio1.com tomorrow morning, hit the podcast button, and have at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we need to do a little bit of a wrap-up. Super Tuesday, we were doing a show on Super Tuesday as results were starting to filter in, and we said at the end of the show we were going to give a wrap-up, so let's do that.
Okay. And as expected, the night went very well for President Trump, but He cannot say he has done a clean sweep across the country, because Nikki Haley did win Vermont and Washington, D.C. So he did fantastic, but it's not a clean sweep.
Yeah, and, you know, again, Vermont is another one of those open primary states where even if you're a Democrat, you can vote in the Republican primary, which
I don't see the logic in that.
I don't either. Somebody's going to have to explain why that seems like a good idea, because
I know
if you're trying to decide who the Republican nominee is, wouldn't you just want Republican voters?
I would think. Or the goal of it is to get enough Democrats going in for voting the Republicans' choice, voting against the Republicans' choice. In other words, preventing the favorite from getting the nomination.
You know, coming out of it, yeah, he lost, you know, Trump lost D.C., all six registered Republicans in D.C., and Vermont, which is...
And he lost Vermont by almost 30 points.
Yeah, but did you see how many people voted in Vermont?
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
It was like a grand total of 60,000.
Vermont is not that populated of a state.
Right. And very few of them actually came out and voted. But Vermont is also very socialist. Yes. And when you have an open primary that way, you're going to get, you know, a bunch of nuts from the other side, you know, voting. So no, he's not going to sweep all 50 states. But he will have enough delegates, I believe it's by the end of next week, that he will be the nominee. So, and, of course, you know, all eyes were on Nikki Haley because she did win a state, okay?
But the first woman to do that, yes.
Yep, it was radio silence. Going into Super Tuesday, there was no chatter coming from the Nikki Haley campaign camp. That night, there was no speech by Nikki Haley. And of course, you know, for people like Diane and I, that is a red flag. And of course, then she came out early the next morning and said, I'm out.
Yeah, she thought she'd win more than the one state. But I give Nikki Haley a lot of credit. She is the first woman to actually win in a primary. I think there is no better than she was on foreign affairs, being a UN ambassador who stood up to the creeps, to put it mildly, at the UN. She had a lot of positives. There were some negatives, of course, but she had a lot of positives, and I think she was in the race, not to be a spoiler, but because she really believed she would do well for this country.
I wish I could think that. I really do.
I know you don't.
But I don't.
I know.
You know, she engineered her whole campaign based on big liberal donors giving her money. And when those donations dried up, she was done. She had nowhere to go and no way to campaign any further. And I thought it spoke volumes that when she called an end to the campaign and delivered that speech Wednesday morning, she wished Trump well. I'll give her that. Mm-hmm. But she did not endorse Trump.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis had the class and the wherewithal to go ahead and endorse the eventual nominee, which is President Trump. She didn't.
No.
And that, to me, speaks volumes.
She should have done that, but I understand also her reasons not for doing that. And like you said, the fact that my candidate of choice, Ron DeSantis, did it and she didn't, that puts a little, you know, cloud over her, if you will. But I think she probably would have made a decent president. Through her foreign policy experience and being a governor, she did have the economic experience, but it wasn't meant to be. We're not ready in this country for a woman president. But the one thing, and I've never told you this, Craig, the one thing that really bothered me about her, Nikki Haley does not know science. In the sense that we have four races, folks, Caucasian, Negroid, Oriental, and mixed. People of Indian descent, India descent, are classified as Caucasians. Those times she stood at the dais and said, well, I'm a woman of color. No, Nikki, you're not.
Well,
you're just not.
Technically.
And that played into the identity politics, which I think we as a country, we've had enough of.
I guarantee you we've had enough of that. You know, technically mm-hmm. she is a woman of color, but that color is still in the Caucasian side of the crayon box.
Right.
You know, I mean, Hispanic is not a race.
No.
You know, Indian is not a race.
No.
And people lose sight of that. They think anybody with a different pigment in their skin is a different race. That's just not the case.
No. And I got news for you. She's not that dark.
No, I mean, no, she's not. But, when you put that out there as part of your campaign, you're playing the game the liberals play. You're trying to paint yourself as some sort of a victim rising above your skin color. And I have always said, and I've said it for decades, if skin color is what you think about when you get up in the morning, what you think about all day, and what you think about when you go to bed at night, you're the racist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think she meant to do that, but just by her doing it, she turned a number of people really off. And also to be remembered is Nikki Haley was the first to cancel culture when she took the Confederate flag off the state house.
Yeah.
That was very wrong.
And that tells me that she bends too far in this woke culture, this cancel culture. She is more concerned about not offending somebody who's, you know, professionally offended, because the people that are complaining about the flag, the people that complain about this and that, they that's their stock and trade, being offended, right?
Being victims.
Yeah, they're professional victims. Mm-hmm. You know, she gives in too easily to that.
But I do not think she's a liberal, like some are saying. I do not think she's a Democrat. She ruled her state basically leaning towards the conservative side. She's definitely a Republican. She is not a Democrat. I wish her well.
Do you think
she gave it a good try?
Do you think eventually she will endorse Donald Trump?
Maybe if there's some making up behind the scenes, because
exactly.
Donald Trump is really nasty to her. You know, it's one thing to be he was nasty to Ron DeSantis. It's one thing to be nasty like he is to a man, but it's quite another thing to do it to a woman.
You know,
and I can understand as a woman her taking it the way she has taken it. Could she possibly endorse him at the very end? It's a possibility. But you know something? I give her credit if she doesn't.
I don't. Not at all. And I'll
Trump
tell you why.
Trump needs to be put into his place a little bit. Even though I've resigned myself that he's going to be the nominee and I'm voting that straight red ticket in November, doesn't mean I have to like him. It does mean I'm voting the lesser of two evils. Not that Trump is evil. Don't think I mean he's evil. But I'm voting the lesser of two evils because I'm doing it for my country. I'm not a Trumpian. I'm not a Trump culter. But I'm not a never Trumper either. And I think that's kind of where Nikki Haley falls into. But when you're attacked personally on the national stage day after day after day, I wouldn't blame her. I wouldn't hold it against her if she didn't endorse him.
I think man or woman, if you're going to play in the major leagues, you better be ready to take it. And she was dishing out enough crap of her own against Ron DeSantis early on.
Oh, yeah.
She was also dishing out enough crap about President Trump when she was running. If you're going to get in there and play in the big leagues, you better be able to take it. I think eventually she will endorse President Trump, but only if she gets some sort of political promise from Trump that she can still be a player in the Republican Party or quite possibly in his administration. I think she wants to be a professional politician. And that's just the way I feel about it. That's just the way I feel about it. Well, you and I are not going to agree on that. But here's what we can agree on. Right now, the smartest thing President Trump can do is name Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate.
Yeah, I put up a post about that immediately.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
And I both did. I think that would be
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we both put them up. And here's the funny thing. We both put those posts up while you and I were talking to each other, and we never told each other we were putting them up, and we put them up in the same minute.
I'm checking that out right now.
you go check that out. You'll see I'm right. But here's the thing. You know, I think Tulsi Gabbard would make an excellent vice president.
I think she would too, and she would bring in the independent vote, which no other person can do at this point. And yesterday I got into something with someone about, well, she's a Democrat. No, she was a Democrat, but she was a Kennedy-style Democrat, a moderate Democrat. She left the party because she didn't like how left the party was going.
I got into that very thing yesterday, Diane. Somebody said, because they saw my post and they sent me a message. They said, Tulsi Gabbard's a Democrat. And I said, yeah, so was Ronald Reagan. And I never heard back from the person.
Oh, I got 22 comments on my post from that person. The people don't understand. It's also time that we put this party divisions behind and become more like Reagan, who was able to work with the left to get things done. There's nothing wrong with bipartisanship. It's how you go about it and what the outcome of the bipartisanship is.
Right.
But we need more of that in this country. We can't keep being divided down straight party lines. For example, here it is, you have people, Republicans, who say, you know, they vote Republican. Well, there's all different kinds of Republicans. There's moderate Republicans, there's white ring Republicans, there's conservative Republicans, there's people like me who are constitutional Republicans. And here, let me say, and also I got into someone about this. When I mentioned Tulsi, they said to me in the post, how can you as a conservative vote or want her? And I said, number one, I don't know how many times I have written this and said this on the air, I am not a conservative. I am a constitutional Republican with conservative leanings on certain key issues. but I am not a conservative for reasons that some people know are quite obvious. I'm not driven by religion. I believe in separation of church and state. And I think that's the way our founders and framers wanted it, because that's what they left behind.
You and I are rowing the same boat when it comes to that. And,
absolutely.
You know, I have gotten into it with so many people in social media. I've written commentaries about it. This whole holier than thou, that's what I call them, the holier than thou wing of the Republican Party, I wouldn't give you two nickels for them. That's just me.
Yeah.
You know? We've got about 10 minutes left in the show tonight, Diane, and we need to talk about this last topic, because this is a very important thing. Biden last night, while he was yelling at everybody, said that he is going to direct the U.S. military to build a port in Gaza so that humanitarian aid can reach the Gazan people. Now, I've got a question for you. Maybe you can clear this up for me. Humanitarian aid? Is that what we're now calling missiles and rocket launchers and rockets? We're calling that now humanitarian aid?
I guess we are.
Because,
or at least the left side of the aisle is calling it that. First of all, we have no business giving these people any aid, as far as I'm concerned. Number one, have you seen one Palestinian come out in public condemning Hamas? I haven't. And I'm talking about the actual real Palestinians. I have seen none of them. When they brought those hostages into Gaza, who were bleeding, raped, bullets in them, whatever, the Palestinians were in the streets with their fists up, you know,
hearing.
Just, you know, saying how great Hamas was.
I mean, they elected Hamas.
Yes.
The Palestinian, quote unquote Palestinian, the so-called Palestinian people, they elected Hamas to be their you know, leaders. Okay. I'm sure, and we know for a fact there are some people there, you know, the Palestinians that do not like Hamas, but they don't come out and they don't do anything about it, you know, at least not publicly. And, you know, the way I look at it is, damn it, this is war. And yes. And Israel didn't start this.
No. But Israel will end this. Israel will end this. And Joe Biden has no business thinking he can tell a sovereign nation what they can or cannot do. And his comment about Jesus, to say that, or want to say that, I don't know if it's actually been said yet.
Oh yes, no, it was said. Let me set this up real quickly so people know, because they may have missed it. After the speech last night, as we all know, Joe Biden was hanging around on the floor, glad-handing and chit-chatting with people. He's standing there with four members of Congress. I don't know if they were from the House or the Senate. I'm not sure who they were. But they told him to keep up the good work in getting humanitarian aid to Gaza. Keep doing what you're doing for Gaza, right?
Right.
And Joe, not knowing there was a hot mic trained on him, okay, he said, you know, don't tell anybody, but I spoke with Bibi, and I told him we're going to have a come to Jesus moment soon. Imagine telling the prime minister of the Jewish state of Israel that you're going to have a come to Jesus meeting with him. I get it. You know, Jesus was Jewish, but I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. No, Biden doesn't know what the hell he's doing. The only way he even sounds remotely like he has a working brain cell is to, you know, pop them full of pills. It's ridiculous. Israel needs to do what Israel needs to do.
Right.
Everybody's so concerned about the Palestinians. Let their fellow Arabs take them in and take care of them. Let them go back to Jordan, where they all originated from. They all have DNA, Jordanian DNA, if you will. They have Jordanian passports and whatever. Let them go back to where they came from. Let Iran take them. Let Saudi take some of them. Let Egypt take some of them. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous what's going on there.
Let me ask you this.
If I had my way, I'd level Gaza, turn it into a memorial park if you want. I'm not saying kill all the people, just get them out of there, make their fellow Arabs take them in, and that becomes unusable land, the buffer zone, if you will, a large security envelope.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Bibi Netanyahu is going to allow a port to be built in Gaza where it would be almost impossible to regulate what is coming in or what is going out of that port?
No. Bibi Netanyahu knows what he's doing. And the word I get from contacts in Israel is he's not paying any attention to this.
You know, I hope if Biden goes over there and tries to build a port, my hope is that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu puts an end to it real fast and destroys whatever is tried to be built there. Yeah. If you can't regulate what's coming in and out of there, Hamas is going to use that to rearm, restock their armaments, and continue this war. End the war? You want this war to come to an end? Let Bibi finish it as Bibi knows how.
Right. And there's something else. Biden, when he was talking about this, he said there'd be no American boots on the ground. Really?
How do you do that?
A port and a pier, you know, they hook onto the land. Americans have to go on that land. So you're having the military go on that land? That's not their land to go on.
Well, and the Houthis are bombing everything that comes through. Right. Around there, any shipping that comes through around there, you've got Hamas doing all this crap. All you're going to do, if you send U.S. military personnel in there to build a port, you're putting U.S. military personnel at risk for no damn good reason.
Exactly.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I hope Bibi, you know, says, here's your come to Jesus meeting. No.
I'm sure he's rolled his eyes in his head and thought, what a moron this man is.
Can you imagine leaders of the world watching that speech last night? Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Joe Biden needs to go into assisted living somewhere and just fade away.
He's in the most expensive assisted living facility in the country right now.
It's become that.
It really has. Folks, we've run out of time.
Yes, we have. And with that, I'll say nighty-night. One of my favorite Star Treks awaits.
Folks, you have yourselves a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again next Tuesday. Bye-bye.